Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we continue our expository study of the book of Revelation as we take a close look at the bloody woman in Revelation 17 verses 5 and 6. All of these studies are available at BBFOhio.com in sermon audio MP3 download or for video viewing on YouTube. So please visit and share that link with others who would benefit from these studies. A phrase through Revelation 17:5. We're going to move on into verse 6 tonight, and then we're going to pick up the pace after this. But because there's so many people denying the truth about the identification of this mystery Babylon, the whore of Babylon, that we've been careful to just go line upon line. And we're referring to the bloody woman tonight. You'll see why when we get to verse 6. Let's go ahead and read verses 5 and 6 together. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Now, in verse 5, we've already touched on the mystery Babylon the Great. But I didn't read this last time because of time constraints. And I'm going to get it in. I want to read you a little bit. So just, pull up a chair, get yourself a nice cup of coffee. And listen to this, written by Clarence Larkin. What I'm about to read you was standard among Christians before this falling away that we're now seeing today. So keep that in mind. What you're hearing tonight used to be pretty much across the board common knowledge. That's what I was trying to think of. This is from page 151, 152 in Clarence Larkin's book titled The Book of Revelation Illustrated. He says, now listen, if you know your Bible, you're going to recognize a lot of this. It says, quote, "The river Euphrates, on which the city of Babylon was built, was one of the four branches into which the river that flowed through the Garden of Eden was divided." You remember that? Mm-hmm. "And Satan doubtless chose the site of Babylon as his headquarters from which to sally forth to tempt Adam and Eve." That's interesting. I agree with that. "It was doubtless here that the antediluvian apostasy had its source that ended in the flood. To this center, the forces of evil gravitated after the flood, and Babel was the result." Mm-hmm. Tower of Babel. "This was the origin of nations, but the nations were not scattered abroad over the earth until Satan had implanted in them the virus of a doctrine that has been the source of every false religion the world has ever known. Babel or Babylon was built by Nimrod. It was the seat of the first great apostasy. Here, the Babylonian cult was invented, a system claiming to possess the highest wisdom and to reveal the divinest secrets. Now listen to this. Before a member could be initiated, he had to confess to a priest. The priest then had him in his power. This is the secret of the power of the priests of the Roman Catholic Church today." The priest in the confessional isn't in Scripture. They got that from political Babylon of the past. It's a power thing. And if you've never read The Priest and the Confessional by Chinique, I think is how you pronounce it, or also 50 Years in the Church of Rome by the same man, or other books where former priests will tell you that they get the goods on you and then they got you. And the confessional booth is a way to control people. And that's exactly what's been going on. Now he goes on. He says, "Once admitted into this order, men were no longer Babylonians, Assyrians, or Egyptians, but members of a mystical brotherhood, over whom was placed a pontiff as high priest." Now, these are the words they used back then, and they're used today by the Roman Catholic Church. It says, the city of Babylon continued to be the seat of Satan until the fall of the Babylonian and Medo-Persian empires. And if you read the books of Daniel and Esther and all that, that's what that's all about. When he shifted his capital to Pergamos in Asia Minor, where it was in John's day. And we studied that in Revelation 2, verses 12 and 13. We covered all this. And if you haven't seen that, if you weren't here and you haven't seen that, you need to get on the internet and watch that video. The audio is fine, but the video is better. And then it goes on, when Attalus, the pontiff and king of Pergamos, now listen, this is good stuff. If you have any appreciation of history, when he died in 133 BC, he bequeathed the headship of the Babylonian priesthood to Rome. And so Babylon and this Babylonian priesthood went from Babylon to Pergamos to Rome. When the Etruscans came to Italy from Lydia, the region of Pergamos. When you say here Lydia, that's Pergamos. They brought with them the Babylonian religion and rites. They set up a pontiff, there's the word again, who was head of the priesthood. Now listen, later the Romans accepted this pontiff as their civil ruler. Julius Caesar was made pontiff of the Etruscan order in B.C. 74. You won't read that or hear that in the school textbooks. Julius Caesar, in a secret ceremony, just like the Masons, he was set up as pontiff over the Babylonian priesthood, which is now in Rome. Now, had to give you all that to get where we're going. In 63 BC, he was made supreme pontiff of the Babylonian order, thus becoming heir to the rights and titles of Attalus, pontiff of Pergamos, who had made Rome his heir by will. When he died, he willed that. Now listen, thus the first Roman emperor became the head of the Babylonian priesthood, and Rome the successor of Babylon. It's a historic event. It happened. The emperors of Rome continued to exercise the office of supreme pontiff until, listen to this date, 376 AD, when the emperor Gratian, G-R-A-T-I-A-N, for Christian reasons, he refused it. He was a professing Christian, so he refused to be the head of the Babylonian priesthood. So what? Where did it go? The bishop of the church at Rome, Damasus, was elected to the position. He had been bishop 12 years, having been made bishop in AD 366, through the influence of the monks of Mount Carmel, a college of Babylonian religion originally founded by the priests of Jezebel. This is all documented history. So in AD 378, the head of the Babylonian order became the ruler of the Roman Church, which we now know is the Roman Catholic Church. Thus, Satan united Rome and Babylon in one religious system. Since that point, all popes have been the supreme pontiff of the Babylonian priesthood. They are Pontifex Maximus, also political and religious head of Rome. And Constantine was the one who transferred the Pontifex Maximus into the Bishop of Rome when he sat at the head of the church councils in 325. Fourth century. Jezebel's priests established schools in different places around the region, and they established a monastery at Carmel. And that's
Mount Carmel. What are these people?
What?
Who did the Mount Carmel school? Was that
Jezebel's priests?
So wasn't that where there was the showdown of
yeah
between Elijah and
Elijah killed them all.
Mm-hmm.
prophets of Baal, and
but just like with every time you see that, the Bible does say he killed all the priests, but there were others who stepped in, just like they clear out the Sodomites, and right behind them come more. Yep. Right behind them. So, understanding that is why, the only way for you to understand Mystery Babylon. Now, I've mentioned this before, and I won't go on into it, but today there are teachers all over the place trying to convince you that Mystery Babylon is Washington, D.C., and New York City, and all these, and just ignore it. But then this mystery Babylon is described as this woman, when it says, "And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus." When you hear people talk about Christian crusades and Christian inquisitions and that stuff, it's not Christian, it's Catholic. And it was Christians as much as Jews and Muslims and anybody else who they killed. So when you blame Christians for the crusades and the inquisitions, you're blaming the victims. Bible-believing Christians were killed. And that's the only way that you understand Mystery Babylon with this historical background, and then you simply understand the history of her killing Bible-believing Christians, and you do that by studying Roman Catholic Church and Vatican City-State history. Anybody who studies this history that we just talked about and the history of the Roman Catholic Church and Vatican City-State, anybody who studies that and still says this is not describing the Roman Catholic Church in Revelation 17 is a liar or a devil. I am here to tell you that when you read this history, it'll make your skin crawl. Yep. And there ain't another institution or entity on the planet that fulfills Revelation 17 to the T, to the letter, like the Roman Catholic Church. And we haven't even got into stuff. Folks, there's stuff that we don't have time to hit it right now, and I'm going to sometime in the future. But the Jesuits and the different secret orders, and what's the one? There's another one I'm hoping John can remember, because I can't remember it off the top of my head. It's an order. No, that's another one. Knights of Columbus. But there's an order that Rick Santorum, for example, is a member of. Opus Dei. Opus Dei is another one. And there's all these different secret orders and everything. It's a tangled web of secret societies and orders, and they're all serving that Roman priesthood. It's amazing. Now, here's the common trait of this, not only Mystery Babylon, but all false or satanic religion, is in John 16:2. Says, "Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think he doeth God service." Every Muslim killing somebody in the name of jihad is doing so because he believes he's serving his God Allah. And every time Christians have been killed by the Roman Catholic Church, it's been in the name of God. And you go through history, you're going to find false religion. Whenever they try to build their kingdom on earth, that's when you're going to see killing. And heresy begets heresy. Remember that. Because when you see somebody going into heresy, that's a serious doctrinal error. Watch out. It don't end there. Heresy is a slippery slope. And once you go down the slide, you don't stop sliding. As long as you remain in that heresy, it gets worse and worse and worse, unless or until at some point you repent and turn back. It just gets worse. And the heretical union of tradition with Scripture. We believe the Bible alone here. The Roman priesthood and the Roman Catholic Church puts tradition on an equal par, which actually puts it above Scripture. And the state with Christendom is what's produced this whore who would then kill all dissenters. A state church is a Roman Catholic institution. What our forefathers knew was that the Roman Catholic religion is incompatible with the constitutional republic here in America. And one of these days, they're going to be proven right. But there's something that the Jesuits and all committed Roman Catholic leaders have in common with committed Muslims. Muslims call it taqiyya. And that is lie until you have the power to then come full force and just admit what you're doing. I believe our Muslim president is doing that. He's lying and lying. He'll say he's a Christian even if he has to. And he'll do whatever it takes to finally get you where he needs you. And I really believe that. I mean, he did it. I'm not just telling my opinion. The man's a liar. He lied about gay marriage and he didn't evolve. He's admitted all along he was supported gay marriage. You say, why did they do that? They will give the liberals and the gay lobby, they'll give them everything they want until they take control and then they'll kill them. How many of you know that's not only how the Muslims always act everywhere they've gone and taken over, but that's how Stalin and Lenin and all those guys did too. They call them useful idiots. That's what they call them. That's their term. They call these people useful idiots who will help them gain power, and then once they get power, they kill them. You've heard socialism. Socialism is communism without the gun, right? And when the communists take over, they kill the socialists. Yeah. They do. And that's what's going on. So J.M. Carroll in The Trail of Blood, we're going to refer to it again in a moment, said, quote, "So under the leadership of Emperor Constantine, there comes a truce, a courtship and a proposal of marriage. The Roman Empire, through its emperor, seeks a marriage with Christianity. Give us your spiritual power and we will give you of our temporal power." End quote. And that's what happened. Since that time, Roman Catholic history can be summed up with these words. "And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus." And if you don't know it now, you need to know it. The Roman Catholic Church is persecuting Christians around the world even today. But the Roman Catholic press isn't going to tell you that. Just like they won't tell you that this poor Kayla Mueller was an anti-Semite, they won't tell you what's going on around the world as the Roman Catholic Church persecutes Christians. Go talk to the Bible-believing missionaries in the Philippines. Go talk to the Bible-believing missionaries in Mexico, Central America, South America, India, all over the world. The Roman Catholic Church persecutes, and the Orthodox, by the way, Church does too, persecutes Bible-believing Christians. Now, for clarification, we're not talking about the Roman Catholic people. We're talking about the Pope, Vatican leaders, the priesthood, and Roman Catholic rulers and their false doctrines. Like the Masonic Lodge, most Roman Catholic people are totally clueless. And when you try to tell them these things, just like the typical three-degree Mason, they'll deny it because they don't know. And that's just the reality. Hey, Satan don't care. As long as their numbers are behind him, their finances are behind them, their voice is behind him, he doesn't care if they know what's going on. He's got them. And he's going to use them and chew them up and spit them out. Now, I want to run through these quickly, but these are the major persecutions that this bloody whore has instituted against people like you and me, Bible-believing Christians. Beginning very early, right after, this began with people like Justin Martyr, by the way. You'll hear him praised as a church father. And he taught this wicked replacement theology that made the church Israel and helped then establish the Roman church. And there's a group, how many of you heard of the Donatists? They were a group of nonconformists. And there were other groups in that era. Augustine, at the same time, Satan just poured it on that 4th century. And at the same time of Constantine, the same time of this priesthood being transferred to the Bishop of Rome, the same time the Bishop of Rome is being called Pontifex Maximus, Augustine's writing a book called The City of God, and he establishes the false authority of Rome as the supreme church and the Bishop of Rome as the supreme bishop over the entire church, and he argued for violence against heretics, and that's you. Augustine argued that heretics, if need be, should be tortured and killed for their own sake. He legitimized it that it's for their good. You're doing a loving thing, if you get a heretic and prod them with a hot poker or hang them upside down and whip them or do whatever you need to do to get them to recant of their error. Augustine's the founder not only of the Roman Catholic Church, he's also the founder of Calvinism. Truth. Then you got the Crusades. After Muhammad, now some of you may not know some of this, but after Muhammad was directed by a Roman Catholic wife and her Roman Catholic uncle to establish Islam, he and his followers turned on all forms of Christianity and Judaism, and Rome then responded by attacking the Muslims and all other nonconformists. That's the explanation of the Crusades. Muhammad was married to a Roman Catholic, and her Roman Catholic uncle convinced him. He thought he was demon-possessed. He would have seizures, foam at the mouth, and have visions. They told him, no, you're not demon-possessed. That's God. And he's an illiterate, so he would tell people, he'd dictate these visions and these sayings, and then he just started making it up, whatever he wanted. If he wanted another wife, oh, Allah just gave me a vision. And he'd have another wife, and I don't know how many he ended up having, including a 9-year-old named Aisha. And that's the kind of thing that happened with Islam. So then Islam turns on the Christians, and then they, after Muhammad's death, not only have they taken Medina and Mecca, where it's all in Saudi Arabia today, but they then, after his death, they went and they took Jerusalem and started ripping up the seven churches in Revelation. All those locations, they took over Turkey, what in the Bible was known as Asia Minor. And so then the Roman church turned on them, and that's why the Crusades happened. But during the Crusades, the Crusaders didn't just go after the Muslims. From Rome to Jerusalem, they raped and killed and pillaged all the non-Roman Catholics, including Bible-believing Christians, Jews, pagans, it didn't matter. And so when they say the Christian Crusades, they're blaming Christians for something that they were a victim of. Christians weren't involved in the Crusades. Roman Catholics were. They didn't pray to Jesus. They were praying to Mary. They had the rosary beads. They did their Hail Marys on the way back, down and back. And they paid for their sins before they even committed them. They would pay a priest so that when they raped somebody, it was already taken care of. That's how they... Yeah, it's all documented. Yeah, Sean?
Obama, last week in the news, made a public statement.
Yes. That was at the National Prayer Breakfast.
Yes.
Mention of Christians.
Yeah.
Who are we to judge against the Muslims?
At one time, these things were done during the Crusades in the name of Christ.
And it was all the Christians.
Yeah. Yeah, if Obama spent anywhere near as much time defending Christians in Israel that he does the Muslims, I might not think he's a Muslim. That's what he spends all his time doing. Then have you heard of the Waldensians? Peaceful Bible believers living in the Italian Alps were killed by the tens of thousands in papal wars against these peaceful, ideally pacifistic people. They were pacifists until they had to fight to survive. That's basically what happened. And the Pope wanted them in the church. He saw that they were happy, they were prosperous, God was blessing them, they were getting converts, and you can't have that. Because they were being converted to the gospel.
Yep.
Rome doesn't want people converted to the gospel. That's why the Pope doesn't preach the gospel even when he has a billion people listening to him. He wants people converted to Rome. And so he had to get rid of the Waldensians. Then you have the Inquisitions. In an effort to wipe out the Reformation, the popes directed inquisitors in the killing of non-Catholic dissenters, most of whom were simple Bible believers. And that's it. That's what the Inquisition is. It's to stomp out all non-conforming Christians. Then you had just what we call papal wars over and above everything we've already talked about. The Pope used Catholic state armies to gain territory. In other words, nations went into a concordat with Rome, and then those armies were put under the command of the Pope. And the Pope would use them. Then you have what's called the Baptist Martyrs. And that's all Baptistic, Anabaptists, other nonconformists. They all came to be known as Baptists and have always been hunted and persecuted by the popes. And the only reason he hasn't done it in the last 100 years is because he just hasn't been able to get by with it out in the open. But they have done it. It just hasn't been out in the open. Now, I want to real quick, just as a reminder, Trail of Blood is a book that we keep giving out. We're going to continue to get those. Fox's Book of Martyrs is another book you ought to read if you haven't. The Pilgrim Church by E.H. Broadbent is a very good book on this subject, written by from the perspective of a Plymouth Brethren. Very good book. And then A Woman Rides the Beast, written by Dave Hunt, is another book I highly recommend. Now, other examples of how the whore, the bloody woman, has killed and been drunk with the blood of the saints is the Dark Age itself was how they would stomp out anyone who had a Bible. They would take their Bibles and burn them, but many times they took the person, wrapped the Bible around their neck, and burned the person and the Bible. And there were unknown numbers of people who were burned alive or beheaded or tortured on the rack until they died during the Dark Age because they owned a Bible. You have the confessional itself. They would use that confessional as a tool for murder, for blackmail, all kinds of evil. Then you have the priestly abuse that still goes on to this day. National Public Television, NPR, has done a one-hour documentary on this. I posted it and someone accused me of being a hater.